Open your Bibles, please, to John 9 and 4. Just that one verse. John 9, 4. These are the words of Jesus. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I'm going to read that one more time, then I want us to all read it together. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Now all together. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow in thy presence, we thank you for this day and for its blessings. We realize that every good and perfect gift comes down from above. We acknowledge thee as our Lord and our Savior. We ask your blessings upon us now as we study this text, and may our hearts be blessed and challenged as we think of the words of our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. You know, with the ending, with the ending of summer, begin to come to cool weather, and there's a shortening of the days and lengthening of the nights and falling of the leaves. It's a kind of a melancholy time for me. It happens every year. I think, well, it means more darkness. It means more cold. Winter is coming. And I begin to look forward to December 21st, when the days begin to get longer again. And you know, between that day and in June, there's about three hours more sunshine in June than there is in around the 21st of December. Life is likened to a day. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh when no man can work. It's been suggested that while Jesus spoke these words, he may well have been looking at the sun that was setting in the western horizon. I must work the works of him that sent me, for the night cometh. And the night can come suddenly, as it did for the seven astronauts. Recall how they came out talking, smiling, confidently moving toward the spaceship. 1 minute, they were laughing, confident. Another minute, in a fiery explosion, they were ushered out into eternity. The night cometh. You know, if Christ needed to keep that before him, surely we need to keep it before us. The night cometh when no man can work. Life's day is growing shorter. The light is fading. Now, this doesn't apply to young people. You know, when you're young, you don't think of old age or death, there's not much consideration. I remember when I wanted the days and the months and years to fly by so I'd get grown. I could hardly wait. But when I got about 30, I wanted the clock to slow down a little bit. And then around 40 and 50, that feeling was intensified. I began to coast pretty fast then, and finally, when you get on up around 65 or 70, you begin to wonder, well, am I going to realize my dreams? And the answer is usually no, not all of them. Not all of them. But at that time, life begins to take on a higher purpose and a deeper meaning. Morning is for preparation. The sunny hours is for labor. And the evening for meditation. And then comes the night. And the earthly life is over. The night cometh to all. You know, our Lord only lived 6 months more on the earth after he spoke these words. He knew he had a limited time here on the earth to accomplish the work that the Father had given him to do. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh when no man can work. I'll tell you one thing this suggested to me. And I guess I was drawn toward this because yesterday and today, I didn't look TV all the time because I've got things more important to do. But the brevity of life, the uncertainty of life, is brought home to you. I think when Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day, the night cometh when no man can work. I think he emphasizes the brevity of life. You know, Jesus stayed on the earth a little better than 33 years. Not long, but long enough to accomplish the work that he came to do. In the scriptures, life is likened to a vapor. It is like a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Life is likened to a flower, likened to a shadow. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow. The flower seeds germinate and grow, bloom, fade and die. The shadow at noontime is not very long, but as the sun begins to move down, the shadows lengthen, and soon they blend into the darkness of the evening. Life is short. Life is like grass. That's what it says in Psalm 103 and 15. As for man, his days are as grass. Doesn't last long. Again, life is likened to a post, meaning a runner. Life is likened to a swift runner. It is likened to swift ships that move out to sea. And scholars tell me that the word rendered ship here means reed rowboats. And you can imagine how quickly they would disappear from sight. So is life. But life, even though it's short, it's a time of opportunities. It's a time of choices. And I'm glad it is. People can choose to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. and live high, noble lives, or they can choose to reject Jesus Christ and go the way of debauchery and ruin their bodies and lose their souls. It's time of opportunity. But this is a reminder that when opportunities come in youth and we pass them by, we'll never have those opportunities again. We may have some more opportunities, but we'll not have those same opportunities. And opportunities we pass by today will not be available anymore. They're gone. We have opportunities for doing good. But what we do is to be done today. I was just thinking, you know, the Christian workers' calendar doesn't have any tomorrow on it. It's today. That's the way the Lord talks to us. It's today. If we're going to say anything or do anything to honor the Lord, it's to be done today. The Lord said, go work in my vineyard today. Go work in my vineyard today. Notice Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me. I must work. You know, a lot of times we look at the work and we talk about it and leave it. We do a lot of that. We look at the work and we talk about the work. But we're told to be doers of the word and not hearers only. I would remind you that everybody has a work to do. And as I look into your faces tonight, I'd tell every last one of you that you have a work that God expects you to do. You have a gift, you have a talent, or whatever you want to call it. God expects you to use that. The Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work. So all of us have a work to do. And we need to be reminded that God has given us a rule book so we'll know how to work for it. The Word of God tells us not only how to be saved, but how to worship and how to serve God. So we need to do God's work, God's way, as Brother Penn has often expressed to us. We need to work with the idea of success. You say, well, can you guarantee that we'll have success? Yes. I think any child of God that's faithful is successful. Maybe not as man declares success, but as God classes it. If we're faithful to the trust that God has given us, we'll be successful. And we ought to work expecting God's blessings to be upon us, and he'll not disappoint us. I think Jesus is our Savior, and he's also our example. He said, I have a mission in the world. I must work the works of him that sent me. What was his mission? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's the mission he had. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus was sent by the Father, and the ruling passion of the Son was to please the Father in all things that he did. He sought not to do his own will. He sought to honor the Father and to help man. He said in John 6:38, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. On one occasion, the disciples begged him to eat. And he said, I have meat or food that you know not of. My meat or my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So his life was for others. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Even his death was for others. He didn't die for himself. He didn't die for angels. He didn't die for God the Father. He died for sinners. He died for sinners. He died for me. He died for you. If we would follow the example of our Savior, we would be very considerate of others. Very frequently, people indicate to me that if you live and you're sensitive to the needs of others, you can never be happy. You have to be selfish to be happy. You know, I don't believe that. Some of the happiest days of my life is when I've absolutely lost myself in service to others. And I've forgotten myself and ministered to others. You know, Christianity is practical. People are happy inside. There's a deep, settled peace and satisfaction when we're in the will of God. And when we're in the will of God, we're thinking of others. I like the poem that's called Others. Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Let self be crucified and buried deep, and all in vain may efforts be to rise again, unless to live for others. When my work on earth is done and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live for thee. You know, you can't really be a follower of Jesus Christ without being sensitive to the needs of people about you. You just really can't call yourself a follower of Jesus. Jesus had a limited time in the world to accomplish his mission. But you know, he started early doing the will of the Father. At the age of 7, he, along with Mary and Joseph, went up to observe the Passover in Jerusalem. And they traveled in caravans, and as they returned, they had gone a day's journey and discovered Jesus was not there, and they went back seeking him and found him among the doctors or teachers, listening and asking questions. And the mother mildly rebuked him for doing it, said, we've been concerned about you. And he said, I'm about my Father's business. And he never swerved. From that time on, he was about his Father's business. And finally, we hear him say, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all say that? I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. You know, the mission of the Lord is the mission of his disciples. He said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Our mission is to do the works of God. And did you know that we're told that we can do even greater works? John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. You know, the saving of a soul is more important than feeding a multitude with a little boy's lunch. Jesus said we'd do greater things. I think he meant in quantity. He said, because I go to the Father. And you know, when he went back to the Father, didn't wonderful things happen when the Holy Spirit came to empower and take charge and be administrator to the church. Jesus was limited while he was here on earth in his body, but his going away made possible even greater works. The day of life, the day that Jesus was talking about, is a time for work. It's not a time, it's not the purpose of life to just look for ease and pleasure and riches and power. You know, Jesus said about a certain man, his fields brought forth bountifully, and he didn't know what to do. He said, well, I'll just tear down my old barns and build new ones and store up my goods, and then I'll just take it easy. And I say, soul, you got much laid up, just take it easy. But the Lord said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be? We're not told to refrain from laying up treasures, but we're not told to lay up treasures on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. Lay not up treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust doth corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. Death is the time of rest for a child of God. You ever think about that? Oh, I'm not saying that a child of God should not give rest to his body, but I'm just saying that we just can't give up and take it easy and not do the work of the Lord. Rest is coming, and death for a child of God will mean rest. Absolutely. We're not alone when we work for God. Did you know that? It's likened to a day. We don't have long. But we're not alone in it. I wish we could all understand that. Many, many times when I get up to preach, I think, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Many times as I've witnessed to people, I say, I'm not alone. I keep telling myself, and I'm not alone. You're not alone. We're laborers together with God. It is God that works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. I read about a man back in stagecoach days, going to make a trip, and he made inquiry, and he said, well, you can ride first class, second class, or third class. He got on the coach and looked at the seats, and they all looked alike to him, and he bought a third class seat. Rode along for miles, and he began to compliment himself. He said, I made a good bargain. But it wasn't long till they came to a steep hill. And the driver of the coach stopped and said, all right, all you that have first class tickets, keep your seats. All of you that have second class tickets, get out and walk. And all of you that have third class tickets, get out and push. And I thought as I read that, you know, we need a lot of third class people. We don't need first-class folk that just sit around and watch the other fellow work. We don't need the second-class folk that will just walk away from the job. We need some third-class passengers that will put their shoulders to the wheel and push. There's work to be done. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh when no man can work. You know, we need to recognize that we have a divine mission in this life. And I believe if that truth would grip us, it'd change our lives. We'd never give way to idleness or neglect. We'd never stain our lives with sin. We'd never blight the fleeting hours with wrong kind of talk, wrong kind of action. I must work. Day's running out. I must work. You must work. You know, it's common in parting with someone to say goodbye. And did you know that that's a shortened form of saying, God be with you? God be with you. You know what most people say now when they mean goodbye? Take it easy. I've said that a lot of times. That's my way of saying goodbye. But, you know, I've come to think about that today in a little different light. I don't much think I ought to just say to someone when I mean goodbye, take it easy, because there's too many people that are taking you literally at your word. They're taking it easy. There are many of God's people taking it easy. There are churches taking it easy. I like what the song says, work for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work when the day grows brighter. Work in the glowing sun. Work for the night is coming when man's work is done. Work for the night is coming. Work through the sun and noon. Fill brightest hours with labor. Rest comes sure and soon. Give every flying minute something to keep in store. Work for the night is coming when man works no more. Work for the night is coming under the sunset skies. While their bright tents are glowing, work for daylight flies. Work till the last beam fadeth to shine no more. Work while the night is darkening when man's work is o'er. I read this, I believe, this afternoon. The smallest deed is better than the greatest intention. So, well, I intend to work for God. But let's begin. Time's running out. You know, it just doesn't seem real to me. I'm serious about it. That I'm 70 years old, soon be 71. That doesn't seem real. I'm at the age I'd like to be. I'm happy, but I don't have, I'm halfway through when you think, or maybe a little more. There's work to be done. Remember the words of Jesus, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is yet day, the night cometh. He meant the end of his earthly life. That's what he meant. That's what he's calling night. The night cometh when no man can work. If Jesus Christ needed to keep that in mind, surely you and I do. Thank you for listening.